today on Jeff's Podcast.
Have you ever seen your pastor get really excited when he's sharing the word? Do you know why he's doing that? He's like a kid in a candy store with the word of God. Preachers are really just investigators of scripture. We look into the word of God and we search and we search and we search for the deep things of God and allow the Holy Spirit to quicken our hearts and quicken our minds to understand the word in a way that we never have. And then when God opens his word and makes it alive to us, we give it to you. So when your pastor gets really excited about something in scripture that he's preaching to you, it's because God has opened his eyes and given him a revelation. Sometimes we are so hungry for something deeper that we can kind of ignore or forget the simplest of principles in the Word of God. It happens to me, it happens to you, I'm sure it happens to everyone, where sometimes God just taps you on the shoulder and takes you to a place in his word and says, remember this, I just want to open this up to you and give you a new revelation into this passage of scripture. And it just makes it come alive to you. It renews your love for the word. It renews that promise and that assurance in your heart given by such perhaps a simple elementary principle. And that happens to me all the time. I was reading Hebrews 11. Not long ago, and the Lord quickened something in me. Chapter 11 of Hebrews, verse 1, the writer of Hebrews begins to talk about faith. Faith can be a difficult concept. It's so simple, yet so profound. It's one of those things that's almost philosophical, that how can you look forward by looking back? And I heard the Lord speak to me and say, sometimes you have to reach back to get your faith. Now, what I mean by that is simply something that I read in Joshua chapter 4. I love preaching out of Joshua 4 because it's the story of God parting the Jordan River. He parted the Red Sea too, but in this passage, he parted the Jordan River so that Israel could cross over into the Promised Land. And the river parted when Joshua instructed the priest to take the Ark of the Covenant, and the Bible said that when the feet of the priest stepped in the water of the Jordan, that the waters opened up, and the priest went over into the middle of the river and stood there holding the Ark while all of Israel crossed over. And so the interesting part about this passage is that before the priest carrying the Ark stepped up out of the water, causing the waters of the Jordan River to rush back together, God gave Joshua an instruction that there should be 12 men appointed, one for each tribe of Israel, and they would go into the midst of the Jordan River, and they would pick up a stone from where the priests were standing in the bed of the Jordan River and carry it with them to where they would camp that night. And they would place those stones, 12 of them, and build a memorial on the west bank of the Jordan in order to commemorate or build the faith of next generations. He goes on to say, God says to Joshua, when you and your children and the generations after you say, what do these stones mean? That I want you to tell them the story of what happened here today. So that was an expression of reaching back in time to get your faith. Sometimes you leave your faith laying around at your last miracle and you don't pick it up again until you need God to do something else. I want to encourage you today to reach back and get your faith. Reach back to the last time God came through for you. Now, if we're going to get specific and if we're going to split hairs, then God has been good to us every day, and God has delivered us every day. And the reason we live and breathe and move is because of his power, his spirit in us. But the last time that you really believed God for something and you trusted God and you prayed and you sowed seed and you believed something was going to happen and God came through for you, sometimes that's the place where you have to go back and grab your faith and remind yourself what God has done for you. Now, we are so easy to forget the things that God has done to to build our faith. But God has done so many wonderful things for you and I. Don't leave your faith laying at your last miracle. Now, Hebrews chapter 1 is that passage where the Lord just kind of opened it up and gave me a fresh revelation in such an elementary, basic principle of our relationship and our walk with the Lord, faith. Now, he uses the word evidence. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. You know, after I spent years in law enforcement, that word evidence meant something different to me than it did before. Evidence became the thing that was required to prosecute a case when someone had committed an offense and they needed to be brought to justice. It was the evidence that brought them to justice. So I understand that in a new context. Maybe if you're an attorney, you understand evidence even more than I did and how I understand it now. Maybe you've never had anything to do with the legal system and you've never studied anything and this doesn't really mean anything to you. I want to just give you a picture of what evidence is. There are different types of burdens of proof in our criminal justice system. There's reasonable suspicion. Then there's probable cause, which is what's required in order for someone to be charged with a crime. And then when they go to court, it has to be proven beyond reasonable doubt. How's that done? It's done with evidence. That evidence, the evidence can be a confession, it can be an eyewitness, it can be a piece of physical evidence, but the evidence is what closes a case. Now, when you read Hebrews 11 and 1, that word doesn't really fit in terms of our understanding of the word evidence. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And I began to think about this, and I thought, wait a minute, Lord. Evidence looks back. Evidence doesn't look forward. There can be no evidence today that I've committed a crime tomorrow. Listen to me. There can be no evidence today that someone is going to do something tomorrow. There can be suggestions and there can be warning signs that something may happen tomorrow in terms of crime, but there's never going to be solid evidence of something that hasn't yet happened. So why did the writer of Hebrews say that faith is the evidence of things not seen? I'll tell you why. Because faith doesn't look back. Faith looks forward. Now, I told you have to reach back to get your faith because sometimes you have to reach back into your history and remember what God has done and get the faith that you left there. But faith always looks forward. You don't need faith for something God's already done. You don't need faith for something that's already happened. There is evidence for it. There's evidence in your life. There's evidence in your hands, whether tangible or intangible in your heart. There's evidence of what has happened. How can there be evidence of something that hasn't happened? God takes this concept of faith or evidence and flips it around and says, I'm going to give you evidence of something that hasn't even happened in your life yet. And what is the evidence? It's not evidence that looks back. It's evidence that looks forward. Hallelujah. And so when I read that scripture with that understanding, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence, not of what he's already done, not of what he's already accomplished in my life, but is the evidence of things I haven't even seen him do yet. And the Lord just sent me by today to tell you that your faith is the only evidence of your miracle. It is the proof. Now, I love to do word studies My brother-in-law and my sister and brother-in-law were here just last week. We were expecting the birth of my grandson, who is a little over a week old now. Just the cutest little thing. You don't get me started. Grandparents have been telling me, my friends who have already become grandparents, been telling me for months and weeks how wonderful it is. They were right. There's no way they could have put it into words. I'm not going to go down that rabbit trail, or I'll start pulling out pictures on my iPhone. But my brother-in-law is working on his doctorate, and he's taken years of Hebrew and Greek language in his study of Scripture. So he and I got to talking about these word studies, and I love these word studies. I began to look into this study of the word evidence, the word that is used in the Greek language, and the word literally means proof or reproof. I'll come back to that in a minute. There can be several different meanings of a Greek word in the Scripture, and it is translated based on the context. So this word that is translated evidence or proof can also mean evidence enough to convict. Now, that's important. When you look at a case, a criminal case, there has to be evidence to convict. That's evidence beyond the proof, proof beyond a reasonable doubt. There are things that are presented as evidence that are not convincing. There's circumstantial evidence. There's evidence that can be rebutted. But God is saying to us that your faith is evidence to convict. In other words, it is evidence to prove beyond a reasonable doubt. In fact, proof beyond any doubt that what you don't see is going to happen. In other words, you'll be able to convict me today with your faith for the blessing that I'm going to give you tomorrow, for the answer that I'm going to give you tomorrow, for the promise that I'm going to fulfill in your tomorrow. Your faith is evidence enough to convict me for it today. It is proof that I'm going to do it. Faith is a powerful thing. Faith seems so simple and elementary, yet it is so profound because it is my faith in God, in what He has said, in His Word. Now, mind you, I have evidence in the past of what God has done, but Jesus said, "Blessed is he who has believed, who has not yet seen." Anybody can believe the evidence of something that has happened already, but it takes somebody with faith to believe, and that faith is the evidence of something that God hasn't even done yet. Now it makes more sense, doesn't it? It kind of illuminates Matthew 21:21, which is kind of my theme passage of Scripture for the year, that Jesus said, "If you will believe and not doubt, if you will believe and not doubt, then not only can you curse this fig tree, but you can say to your mountain, 'Move into the midst of the sea,' and it shall be done." Whatever your mountain is today, if you will have faith. God said there is given unto every man a measure of faith. If you will have faith, your faith is enough evidence to prove what God has already done. Powerful stuff. Now, let me just reach back for a minute and talk about this word reproof. The word used for evidence is proof or reproof. Again, there are words in the original language that can be translated in two ways. It's a unique language. I have to rely on advice and studying, because when I was in college and seminary, I didn't take any language. So now I'm having to kind of teach myself on a kindergarten level as we go along. But one thing I know is that words can be translated differently. And this word reproof is a word that doesn't look forward, but it looks back, just like proof, evidence. Evidence always looks back, except for in Hebrews 11:1. Now, when The only other place that this particular Greek word is used is that Paul uses it when he talks to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, and he said, all Scripture is God-breathed, listen, and profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction. Now, how does this apply? What does this have to do with faith? Well, do you know that the Word of God is reproof? Listen to what I'm saying. Let me just crack this nut open for you the way God showed it to me. The Word of God is proof and reproof for doctrine, correction, instruction. So here's what I want you to see. There is always a voice in your spirit, in your mind, that is a negative influence. The enemy is constantly battling our minds, whether it is something that's happened or something we're believing God for that hasn't happened. And that's what I want to focus on for just a minute or two before we close out today. When you have faith in God and you proclaim that faith, in other words, you proclaim that evidence, your faith, the evidence, the proof beyond any doubt of what God will do, your faith is that evidence. When you declare that faith, the enemy is already working to try to bring rebuttal to your faith. And he will say things like, God's never going to do that for you. You're not worthy. God's never going to do that for you because you haven't put in the work. You haven't earned it. You don't deserve it. And he's always looking into your past and pointing you into your past to convince you that the evidence for your future, your faith, is invalid. But the Word of God becomes reproof, not only correction for believers that need to be corrected in doctrine, but I believe it's reproof to the enemy and your haters. Reproof, evidence to convict. In other words, looking back and pointing to what God has done after you had faith. Let's get our minds wrapped around this timeline. You trusted God. You had faith in what has not happened yet. You practiced your faith, which became your evidence to convict God of what he hadn't yet done. He did, in fact, do what he promised he would do. And then now you're looking back on that thing, and you have not only the evidence of your faith, but you have the evidence of what God did after he promised and carried through with his promise. Now, it's not just evidence, it's proof and usable for reproof against the adversary. You can tell the devil, I had faith, I believed God, I didn't listen to the voice of logic, and I didn't listen to the voice of rebuttal against God's promise, but I trusted God. My evidence was enough, because your evidence moves the hand of God. He performed my miracle, and now I have proof that my faith was evidence all along. It's a rebuttal against the enemy. The Word of God is a rebuttal against every lie of the enemy. It is reproof against the adversary that God will do what he says he will do. Faith is proof and reproof. I can have faith because he's built my faith. I can reach back to the Jordan where those 12 stones were and get my faith. But the evidence always, the faith always looks forward. It is the evidence. It is the only place in which evidence looks forward instead of backward. And that's a hard thing to wrap our minds around. You know, there was controversy when hate speech laws began to be passed in legislation, state or federal, hate crimes. When those laws began to get passed, there was a controversy and a lot of debate because It was basically the argument of how can you convict someone for what they are thinking? How can you convict someone for what's in their mind or in their heart? Well, that's kind of what God is giving us. He is giving us something in our heart, faith. I don't know if I'm properly and sufficiently connecting these dots for you, but that illustration just popped into my mind. God said, because of what you think in your heart, I'm going to act on that. Because of what you have in your spirit, that faith, that evidence compels me to act because I'm not a man that I should lie. And I told you that if you'd trust me, I would do it. So now that you have faith in me, that faith becomes the evidence for me to act because I will not be called a liar. I could go on all day. This is powerful stuff. I want you to have faith. I want you to understand that your faith is evidence that looks forward. Faith of something, evidence of something that hasn't happened. That's impossible, isn't it? It's impossible to have evidence of a crime that hasn't happened, evidence of an event that hasn't happened, but that's what faith is. Faith goes against what is possible. Faith makes what is impossible possible. Faith is the only evidence that looks forward. Hope you were encouraged today, and I'll see you next week.
Thanks for tuning in today. Remember to subscribe to the podcast on any major podcast platform or Jeff's YouTube channel. For more information about this ministry, visit us at jeffwolf.org. Just released is Jeff's newest book, 10 Reasons Why. You can get it free by texting the keyword RESTORED to 833-649-1545. Message and data rates may apply. We'll see you next week. Be blessed.